Let's speak to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you, the creator of everything, for your mercy to those you created. Because when we were, who were created in relationship with you, rather than treating us as our godlessness deserved and bringing your wrath upon us, you sent your Son. He died for us so that his blood took your wrath from us, reconciling us to you. Therefore, we thank you for your salvation. We rejoice in the new life, the new relationship we have in Jesus' resurrection as he restores our relationship with you. We thank you for the certain hope of everlasting life in a new heavens and new earth, with no more tears or crying or mourning or pain. And yet, Lord, rather than live our lives as we ought, we still fall short of your glory. We still go our own way and ignore you. We're sorry for our greed, selfishness, and pride that cause us to fail to represent your kingdom as we ought. We're sorry for where our words and deeds fail to recognize you as Lord, both in what we do and in what we fail to do. And we ask that you forgive us. But we ask this knowing that you do show mercy because of Jesus, and therefore we are forgiven. And further, you promise not only forgiveness, but also cleansing, that when we confess our sins, you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we claim that promise and ask that you move in us by your Spirit to grow us in the values of your kingdom, of love and mercy, along with faith, so we can better represent you. Also, grow us in numbers, bring people into your kingdom, and let them gather here with us. Be working in the youth around our church, that they know of Jesus, and become committed to following him. Look after the practicalities of the building project, and selling the outstations. Enable us to be back in our buildings so that we can use them for your glory and be working in our community. Lord, we ask for our farmers as we come into harvest time. We thank you for all the rain that we've had this year. Grant the farmers an abundant harvest. Control the weather so that they have the dry spell they need to harvest the crop. Let them see your hand enabling them and praise you for it. Father, we ask for all those affected by the outbreak of the virus. Be with those who are infected and with any doctors and nurses treating them. Just place your protection on them. Lord, we ask for wisdom for our leaders in our federal government so that they'd make good decisions as we're starting to come out of lockdown. We thank you that we can sing together of our joy in you and look forward to the rest of the restrictions easing. In wrath, Lord, remember mercy. But more importantly still, use this time to cause people to think about you. Use it to bring people to you so that they know and live out of a knowledge of Jesus. And looking outside of ourselves, we ask for the Christians in Pakistan. Be working, providing for them, and granting them the peace that's beyond understanding. Give them courage and wisdom of how to share about you in words and deeds. Protect them, and let them show the joy that you provide to them, so that others will see their faith, and give glory to you on the day that Jesus comes. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Jeff is going to bring us the second reading from Genesis chapter 3.
The word of the Lord comes from chapter 3 of Genesis, verses 1 to 24. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and then they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of the life.